You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Classic Short Stories and Tales. This is your host, John Hagedorn. Like many of you, I'm a student not only of classic literature, but of history. And, like many of you, I have often wondered what some of our great leaders here in the U.S. would tell us if they had the opportunity. America today, and I think most of you agree, is in great need of morality and virtue. Although they cannot speak to us, our country's greatest leaders often visualize the future, and they did try to steer us in the right direction. I would like to share some very prescient advice from two of my favorite Americans, George Washington and Theodore Roosevelt. The first is the farewell address given to us by George Washington as he prepared to leave the office of the presidency on September 19, 1796. The second is called Going to Church by Theodore Roosevelt, which was published in Ladies' Home Journal in 1917. Please do share this episode with others who care. And now we begin with the farewell address by George Washington. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. 'Tis substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. The rule indeed extends with more or less force to every species of free government. Who that is a sincere friend to it can look with indifference upon attempts to shake the foundation of the fabric? Observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. Religion and morality enjoin this conduct, and can it be that good policy does not equally enjoin it? It will be worthy of a free, enlightened, and at no distant period, a great nation to give to mankind the magnanimous and too novel example of a people always guided by an exalted justice and benevolence. Who can doubt that in the course of time and things, the fruit of such a plan would richly repay any temporary advantages which might be lost by a steady adherence to it? Can it be that Providence has not connected the permanent felicity of a nation with its virtue? The experiment, at least, is recommended by every sentiment which ennobles human nature, Alas, is it rendered impossible by its vices? We'll return with Theodore Roosevelt right after these sponsor messages. And now, Going to Church by Theodore Roosevelt. He offered his reasons for going to church in Ladies' Home Journal in 1917. 1. In this actual world, a churchless community, a community where men have abandoned and scoffed at or ignored their religious needs, is a community on the rapid downgrade. It is perfectly true that occasional individuals or families may have nothing to do with church or with religious practices and observances, and yet maintain the highest standard of spirituality and of ethical obligation. But this does not affect the case in the world as it now is, any more than that exceptional men and women under exceptional conditions have disregarded the marriage tie without moral harm to themselves, interferes with the larger fact that such disregard, if at all common, means the complete moral disintegration of the body politic. 2. Church work and church attendance mean the cultivation of the habit of feeling some responsibility for others and the sense of braced moral strength which prevents a relaxation of one's own moral fiber. 3. There are enough holidays for most of us which can quite properly be devoted to pure holiday making. Sundays differ from other holidays, among other ways, in the fact that there are 52 of them every year. On Sunday, go to church. 4. Yes, I know all the excuses. I know that one can worship the Creator and dedicate oneself to good living in a grove of trees, or by a running brook, or in one's own house, just as well as in church. But I also know, as a matter of cold fact, that average man does not thus worship or thus dedicate himself. If he stays away from church, he does not spend his time in good works or in lofty meditation. He looks over the colored supplement of the newspaper. 5. He may not hear a good sermon at church, but unless he is very unfortunate, he will hear a sermon by a good man who, with his good wife, is engaged all the week long in a series of wearing and humdrum and important tasks for making hard lives a little easier. 6. He will listen to and take part in reading some beautiful passages from the Bible, and if he is not familiar with the Bible, he has suffered a loss. 7. He will probably take part in singing some good hymns. 8. He will meet and nod to, or speak to, good, quiet neighbors. He will come away feeling a little more charitably toward all the world, even toward those excessively foolish young men who regard church-going as rather a soft performance. 9. I advocate a man's joining in church works for the sake of showing his faith by his works. 10. The man who does not in some way, active or not, connect himself with some active, working church, misses many opportunities for helping his neighbors, and therefore, incidentally, for helping himself. In both instances, great advice from good men, George Washington and Theodore Roosevelt. We ask that you share this great advice with others, especially those who have the responsibility of leading our nation and our communities. This is John Hagedorn. This is 1001 Classic Short Stories and Tales, and this is a special presentation. 1001 Classic Short Stories and Tales is a proud member of 1001 Stories Network. Thank you for listening.